there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And what we are moving forward with today is we're taking on August recess visits. And this deals with legislation, this deals with advocacy. And to do this in terms of the two issues of which we are taking in front of our legislators this time. And Jennifer and I are actually going to, shift the direction, shift the motion, the order of our podcast. And rather than saving the MS and their voices for the end, we wanted to kick this off in the conversation with MS and their voices, where we are going to share in reading excerpts from Jennifer's op-ed piece that appeared in the newspaper The Morning Sun a few months ago. And this is ties in directly with the one of the issues we are talking about with our legislators this month. And it'll start with why Congress must pick up where the ADA got grounded with airline accessibility. The Americans with Disabilities Act that was signed into law in 1990 never took flight for all Americans who are living with disabilities. That's because the ADA does not apply to air travel. Congress is on the cusp of addressing legislation that could change all of this and break down barriers to air travel accessibility. Federal legislators need to include the Air Carrier Access Amendments Act and the 2023 FAA reauthorization to make air travel safer for people with disabilities.
Travel sounds fun and exciting, right? But can you imagine traveling via airplane, knowing that upon arrival, both of your legs could be broken? Your way of navigating from one point to another, both legs broken. Travel doesn't sound quite as fun anymore. Ask yourself, would you still take the trip knowing of this potential risk? This is the critical question that I and many other Americans living with disabilities must answer every single time we take a flight and are required to check our assistive devices, such as wheelchairs, scooters, and walkers at the gate. I have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis and no longer can use my legs. I use a power wheelchair for my mobility and consequently for my independence. I consider my power wheelchair my de facto legs, but I, as well as any other person who uses a wheelchair or other assistive device, have to surrender it before I can board an airplane. Airplane ground crews who are pressured by the pending time crunch quickly must transfer those of us who can walk into an oversized who can no longer walk into an oversized wheelchair, or strap those of us who can't walk into an aisle chair that measures a mere 14 inches wide. They then whisk our collective modes of independence so they can speedily stow the assistive devices with the rest of the passengers' luggage in the airplane's underbelly. Those of us with physical disabilities are left at the gate to uncomfortably sit in our airplane-issued chairs and desperately wait for the airline staff to roll us down the bridge and transfer us into our airplane seats. All the while, we pray in a pleading sort of silence that the ground crew will take great care as they load our assistive devices into the cargo hold. Please, just don't break our legs.
Wow. And for the entire text of the op-ed piece, check out the liner notes for this episode. That'll take you to the post where we have that in its entirety. And thanks for reading that. And it's just like, I don't think it ever gets easier. I don't want to say easier for me to listen to, but I mean, those are just the harsh realities. And this is why we legislate, why we advocate and talk to our legislators specifically about this as one of the issues that we are talking to our legislators about. How do you feel about that?
I think I feel like I always feel, just to read it out loud. You realize that if you can walk and you can board an airplane on your own with your legs, you still have to walk without your walker, for example, or without your cane. And you do that, which is uncomfortable. And if you're a wheelchair user like I am, you have to transfer out of your power wheelchair into a little skinny seat and get wheeled onto an airplane. So that's a little humbling that you have to have another human being, or two in my case, pick you up and then push you onto a chair and push you onto a plane. So it's a little stressful just to read it. I can feel my heart beating a little faster.
And I feel your pain because I think the same, where it's just like, because as your caregiver, I'm always just like, please God, just don't let anything happen. Because if your wheelchair gets broke, then that puts a lot of the pressure on me to find, you know, to find plan B to get you a chair that you can use.
And certainly there's stress when you when we travel, you know, I don't want to say the easy job. I just have to get picked up and transferred but you, Dan, they look to you to figure out how are we going to load this big power wheelchair onto the plane? Where do the legs go? What is the seat we need? You know, how many times have you boarded a plane and had someone from the airline come to the airplane and say, hey, we have a question? Or you can't just quickly get on the plane at the same time as me. You're always needed to help with that. And I appreciate the care that they give and that they want to know, and they don't want to load my chair haphazardly. Mm-hmm. But it's stressful. And seriously, everyone is rushing to get a plane on time. And so that's why this legislation that we are bringing to our legislators in August, when we're asking them to consider airline accessibility, airplane accessibility for people with disabilities as part of the, you know, FAA reauthorization. That's why this is so important. And we're both so passionate about this. And this is, we're doing this August recess visit through the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And I think it's very important.
And that's what we're talking about. This is why it's so important. And for you out there in listener land, we will have information on the liner notes for this. For you, if you're looking for a way that you also can get involved and connect with your U.S. Senators and congressmen, to do this. The two issues, as Jennifer said, the one is, and I'm just reading this verbatim and stuff just to make it clear, and we can go into detail on this, but Congress must address barriers to air travel accessibility, include provisions in the 2023 FAA reauthorization that addresses access standards and the Department of Transportation's complaints process for people with disabilities. And the other issue that we are taking to our legislators when they're back in district during their August recess is to pass comprehensive pharmacy benefit manager reform this year that improves access to treatment that people need. It's a lot, but we will go into detail on this just in discussing it, and also then have the information on the liner notes for this podcast.
And I think all of this is important to the MS community, because all we're asking with the airlines, with the pharmacy benefit management managers is just to help people living with multiple sclerosis. MS is a difficult, challenging enough disease to not have to worry about accessibility or access to your medication. And so with the airline accessibility, we really just, we want things to be fair. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I don't know if everyone would fly if they knew they had to be picked up and put into an airline seat by a complete stranger. Or if they couldn't use a bathroom on a flight.
Well, how many, yeah, exactly. How many people on an airplane? I mean, it's just like to know that the second you surrender your assistive device, you cannot go to the bathroom until you are at your point of destination. Long after they get your wheelchair, pray to God that it's in one piece and operational, but then you're always the last person to get off and then to get the wheelchair and then to find the bathroom. I mean, sometimes even on an hour flight to DC, you're talking, that's like a 4-hour window that you can't go to the bathroom.
It's harsh, and it's to add insult to injury. You watch the flight attendants roll the beverage cart down the proverbial aisle, and all I'm thinking is, gosh, I'm so thirsty. I just had some salty pretzels, or I'm nervous because I'm flying, and I would love just a little drink of some coffee even just to calm my nerves, and I can't do it. And so that's really hard. And then, you know, airlines are packed with customers, which is a good thing, but it's a little, I'm 5'9". I am not a small thing. And so if someone has to sit next to you and me, Dan, they have to climb over me. It's not like I'm going to get up and move. And I am, you know, as you pointed out, the last one off the airplane. I'm one of the first ones on the airplane. So I sit there, and I've been very lucky, very fortunate. We've always had really good treatment. But, you know, I just have to sit there and someone has to climb over me. And that can be a little uncomfortable. So I really think that they need to address this. And I think it would be amazing. I know some of you out there may have seen footage of Delta Airlines trying to think about getting where you can lock our power chairs into the airplane. So the airplanes would be accessible for power wheelchair users. I don't know how that will happen.
And we'll put a link to that video also in the liner notes. Just, I mean, because there's going to be a lot there in said liner notes, but this is good information and just ways that you as listeners can look and see and witness a lot of this and just to see how you can get involved and why it's such a big deal.
And I'm sure a lot of us out there have had horror stories of that transfer to the airplane, or that our chairs have been damaged, not just chairs, walkers, canes lost, you know, mobility equipment has been damaged. And it's not that we want to hear that, because I don't want it. I hope that it doesn't happen to a lot of us. But if you have a story you would like to share, we certainly, you know, there's power in collective voices. So we can take this. You know, we are not meeting with our legislators until the month of August at some point. So if we have more stories, that's more power. And it's here in Michigan that we're going to be meeting with our state senators and our representatives. But I think if you live in another state and you want to get your voice out there, get yourself connected with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
And we'll also have a link in there. It's the National MS website is nmss.org. But we'll have a link to the advocacy in the August recess information. And just because we talk in Michigan and stuff, but this is nationwide. And so how we can get involved. And true that, you know, even for international flights, I mean, to be able to fly, because that's the whole thing. We do not do international flights because those are really long flights.
Those are really long flights. And as we've mentioned before, we don't really do connecting flights because there is that small window of time to transfer and to get me off a plane and to get my wheelchair off a plane onto a new plane. It's just difficult. So we really want the government to investigate that and hear the voices of the disabled community that they represent. And along that line, we want to talk about the pharmacy benefit manager and just how powerful those people are.
Who knew that was a thing?
Yeah.
I mean, just to be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a pharmacy benefits manager. And this is, I mean, it's kind of overwhelming and scary at the same time.
I mean, it's just a pharmacy benefit manager is someone who it's kind of crazy, but they have no direct relationship with individual patients, yet they control the medications that insurers cover, the amount patients pay out of pocket. They can limit your access to medication with prior authorizations and step therapy. And so we just really want to, and this, thank heavens, is a bipartisan issue. No one, you know, is happy about this, the power of a pharmacy benefit manager. And that's why we want to address it, because as I mentioned earlier, people with MS are dealing with enough problems. They don't need to go through these hoops to try and get the medication to slow down the progression of their disease.
And that's the thing. And this is just information from the National MS Society, but just that the three largest, and if we can just pharmacy benefits managers, we'll just call them the PBMs. But the three largest PBMs manage about 80% of all prescriptions filled in the U.S. and have consolidated influence over the U.S. healthcare system. And it's just like PBM negotiations are secret, and it often appears that decisions are driven by what's financially best for the PBMs instead of what's in the best interest of the patients. I mean, that's just like, you know, so then we you know, Jennifer and I have talked about this and about the reality that MS medications are among the most expensive in the business. And it's just like, but yet, how much are the PBMs driving those costs of the medications that we need?
Yeah, and it's insane that the average cost of living with MS for an individual is $88,487. I mean, as you said, Dan, MS medications are one of the most expensive drugs on the market. And we're not going to speak to our legislators. And this is falling on deaf ears because multiple congressional committees have targeted PBM reform legislation. And it's a priority for congressional leadership. You know, there is bipartisan, bicameral support for PBM reform policies that are budget neutral and generate savings. Broad PBM reform is needed, and so much in this country is needed. But really, medication, access to medication, and support for those of us living with chronic illness, this needs to be addressed. And that's why I get so fired up. I know you, Dan, also get fired up.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like they're talking about the cost of multiple sclerosis for the individual at 88.4, 88.85, just for the prescription drug medicine. It's like my medicine that I take is actually about $105,000 a year. And it's just the reality that $105,000 accounts for two infusions. I mean, that's what I get, two infusions. That it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, thank goodness there are programs out there to help with the cost, and, you know, God, you know, thank God I have insurance. But at the same time, for the people who don't have insurance, and just that, why is that acceptable that these medications can be so doggone expensive?
And I don't want to harp on this and throw more numbers out there.
I wish I had a harp sound.
But it's just the reality. You know, we gave that number about how expensive it is to live with multiple sclerosis. But in 2023, the average brand price for a DMT, that's a disease-modifying therapy to treat multiple sclerosis, was $97,492. Ouch. That's the average. And you know what's funny? Oh, the generics, the average falls, they're generics, mind you. The average price falls to $81,576. Oh, exactly. So a generic saves you $16,000 a year, but you're still paying over $80,000. Or if you're not paying, your insurance company is paying. Yep. And that's why, I mean, $80,000 for a generic drug for 1 year. You know, that's a house. Or,
I was going to say,
you know, that's part of a house. I realize, you know. Well,
the first house I bought some, you know, 30 years ago, it was $87,000.
Yeah.
$87,000 in Alma, Michigan.
And so that's why we're so fired up and we're focusing on that. And I just, the advocacy is, as we've talked about before, it gives us power. You know, we get to meet legislators, and we have been very lucky that we've dealt with parties, with the Democrats, with the Republicans, that we've had good support. And it gives us an opportunity to talk to people and share the reality of life with multiple sclerosis. You know, yes, there are a million of us in the United States living with the disease, but say that again, there's only a million of us in this great, big, huge United States living with multiple sclerosis. So to have the opportunity to get our voice out there and share our stories with legislators is pretty powerful.
When I guess that's the question too, then, just in terms of talking and asking, talking about it with you and asking the question, and I'm doing this on behalf of the people listening, just because I want to get other people fired up about this too. I will say, for anybody, because as we're describing all of these issues and the details and stuff, truth be told, everybody, we did not look this up. We're not the bookworms to figure this out. This is the benefit of the National MS Society, that they're the ones doing the research, that they're giving us the information. And it really becomes more our stories, your stories, that will stick with the legislators about the issues. So I guess that's my question for you, Jennifer, is why is advocacy so important? And you say you get fired up. Why do this? I mean, explaining to me, but then explaining to somebody who's on the fence and saying, do I really need to become an activist?
You do need to become an activist, because we are close. I have lived with this disease for 26 years in November. It will be 26 years. And I remember when I was diagnosed all those years ago that my neurologist told me, oh, Jennifer, I think we're 5 years away from a cure. Well, that was 5 years, and that passed, and it didn't happen, and now we're 26 years into it. But I really believe we're close. We're closer than ever to a cure, and if not a cure, we certainly have much, much better treatments to slow down the progression of the disease, to slow down the severity of the disease. And Dan Digman, I want to advocate for this, not just for myself, but for you, for other people that are newly diagnosed. I know how devastating it was to hear that I had multiple sclerosis. And I know how difficult this disease is to live with. And so I think that while I have lost my ability to walk, I've gained my ability to use my voice and to share my story. And that's why I encourage other people. How about you? Do you feel the same way, or do you have more to, why do you advocate?
Because I always feel like, and this is something we've said, that it's like there's nothing more encouraging, nothing more empowering than when you are speaking your truth. I mean, it's like we can sit back and just complain about MS disease costs, you know, the DMT costs, or complain about airlines not being accessible. But it's just like, you're just going to sit back and complain, or you're going to do something about it. And, you know, this is why we need to continue to be our own best activists, because it's just the reality. Nobody knows your story better than you, and nobody's going to know what your needs are unless you talk about it. And you, the nice thing then about being an activist with the National MS Society is that how many other activists are out there going to the Hill, going to their legislators in August throughout the year when issues come up, to talk about it, and building those relationships with the legislators. So when these kinds of issues come up in Congress, they realize that, yeah, this really impacts one of their people, 2, 3, 50 of their people in their district, the people, their constituents. And if we don't talk about it, they'll never know, and they won't pay attention. It's just like, people need to pay attention to us.
I couldn't have said it better myself, that people do need to pay attention to us, and we have voices, and we're powerful, and that's why we do it. And so I'm very much looking forward to our August recess visits. And I hope that we fired up people listening and y'all want to get involved. And if you don't feel comfortable or you don't have the time to meet with legislators, you can fill out an action alert. It's just a quick, you know, even a text on your phone just to send legislators a note. The MS Society really does a lot to help you get in touch and to get your voice out there. I know it can sound scary. I know the first time we met with legislators, we were nervous. And we still get excited and borderline nervous when we meet with the legislators. But it feels really good to know you are doing something to help your disease.
And so in short, the two issues we are taking to our legislators in August, and that we're encouraging other people to get involved in to do, is to pass comprehensive pharmacy benefit manager reform this year to improve access to treatments that people need, and that Congress must address barriers to air travel accessibility and include provisions in the 2023 FAA reauthorization that address access standards and the Department of Transportation's complaints process for people with disabilities. And we will have the information about both of these issues, ways that you can get involved, the text for Jennifer's op-ed piece that was in the Morning Sun, and just and check back then too on our website, because, and that's a couple takes on MS.com, because we will have pictures, stories, and descriptions and follow-ups to what we talk to our legislators about, the feedback that we get from them, and just the progress of all these issues moving forward in August and beyond.
So I thank you all for listening today. Hope that we've inspired you to get involved with the advocacy and with the MS Society, and to share your story. I know not everyone is living with MS, but if you're living with a chronic illness, or you just want to get involved. Share your story. It helps make the world a smaller, more connected place. And so that's all for today. And I thank you very much for joining. I'm Jennifer Digman. I'm rolling with a couple takes on MS.
And I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking with a couple takes on MS. And until next time, take care. We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes. You can email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, coupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.